Hello, and welcome to the pilot episode of Community Stories Junior. I'm your host, Melissa Kay. I'm delighted to bring this brand new show to you, where I get to highlight the talented young people in our area. I'll be following a group of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders as they progress through a school semester learning 3D printing in the Nakusa School District. Their teacher, Mr. Benjamin Peters, has achieved a goal of implementing a 1-to-1 ratio of students to 3D printers in the Technology Classroom, or CAD Fab Lab. You'll be able to travel along and get to know these young people as they discover the process of what it means to have this technology at their fingertips on a daily basis. You're also going to hear from many other young people throughout the run of this show, including our theater youth involved in Hopo Productions at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater this summer, and other student groups throughout our listening area. Additionally, we have a very special story that will air at the end of the show called Tale Time. Tune in each week to hear adventures with Kevin the Cat and maybe even some friends he makes along the way. Now sit back and enjoy your community stories with me, your host, Melissa Kay, and this first introduction to the tech classes at Nakusa Middle School with their principal, Mr. Julius. I'm here at Alexander Middle School with Principal Jason Julius. Welcome to Community Stories Junior.
It's great to be here. I can't wait to tell our story.
Well, I'd like to talk with you about your brand new CAD Fab Lab here and the exciting new advancements that you're working toward in the tech education of our young people. So first, let's talk about the lab. If you could describe for our listeners what you see when you walk into the classroom.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's first start with CAD Fab Lab. I mean, that's something you don't hear very often. CAD stands for Computer Aided Design, and then obviously Fabrication Laboratory. So it's easier, it rolls off the tongue a little bit easier than the whole words, but it is fantastic when you walk in. It's not like anything I've seen in any other district. Every student has a workstation, and at that workstation, there's a computer, and there's an individual printer, a 3D printer. Every student has that ability to create, innovate, and design, and then ultimately print. You know, I've seen different districts that have had one, maybe two 3D printers. We have a station, we have 20 3D printers. And so you walk in and it just exudes technology. I don't know how else to say it. You walk in, you're like, you're just kind of blown away with all the different stations and the kids working and engaged. And, you know, I always like to heard that term, hands-on is brains-on. And kids are actively engaged in their learning. And you see the product. They get actually design something and see the product and take it with them. And so just to be a little bit more visual, you walk in and there are computers and stations all the way around the outside of the wall. And at the middle is kind of a... I look at it as a common area, an empty table where kids can bring their projects that they've been working on individually to the center of the room where now they can collaborate. And so it's really allowing for students to, one, harness their individual skills, whether it's with the computer-aided design, and then come together in that team fashion where they're maybe actually integrating different parts that they've created into that collaborative process.
Now, I've heard that this lab is the first of its kind in the district. Can you tell me how this all came about?
It might not be the only the first in this district. It could be the first in the state. It is amazing. It actually came about through a lot of grants. And really, not only the grants, but also the vision. I have to tip our hat to Ben Peters and Marcus Wilcox, our technology education teachers. You know, without their passion and their vision, you don't go out and you seek the grants. You don't go out and do the things that we're doing without that drive. And so I got to tip my hat to them first. And then, you know, there are 18 Wisconsin schools that received $493,000 in grants. And we were fortunate enough to get one of those, right? And so these fabrication laboratories, or these CAD fabs, kind of were integrated throughout the state. I don't know what other districts are doing, but I do know what we're doing, and it's amazing. These labs are offering students the opportunity to gain that hands-on experience and preparing for that next step, you know. And I think we'll talk about that later, but what does that mean for the high school level? What does that mean for jobs in science, technology, engineering, and art and math? And it's amazing to see our kids already engaged at a sixth grade level exploring those options. You know, typically what you're finding in that are those 3D printers and those laser engravers, and we have access to all of that. And that's unheard of at a middle school level. It truly is. I mean, I've seen some of that equipment at a high school level, but to really exposing our kids, which at a middle school level, that's really what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be exploring, and what is their passion, and what are they getting engaged on? And this is a great opportunity for them to do that. And very fortunate that we have that vision with our teachers and the support of our grants.
So you touched on this a little bit, but you've worked in other school districts. How does this compare to other labs in other schools and other tech programs?
Yeah, you just don't see this at a middle school level. A lot of times, in my experience, I taught science at a district. I've been a principal in other districts. And you start seeing hands-on. Hands-on is brains-on, right? You start seeing hands-on project and really trying to get our students to think solutions-based. But you don't see the equipment. You don't see that next step. I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, you can build a Pinewood Derby car or whatever. I'm thinking of all the different gliders and balloon gliders that you typically see in a middle school tech ed program. We're actually designing them, and they're in the 3D printers creating them, and that's just, it's that next step, and you see the light and the engagement from the kids. They just, their light eyes light up. But no, you don't see this at a middle school level. I remember, I've been involved in education long enough when 3D printers kind of came on board, and they took like half the room. It seemed like they were huge, and to replace the cartridges and how they've evolved, and then their ability to the ease of use, and how our kids are just not afraid of technology. Mm-hmm. And so getting that technology in their hands when they can explore is just a great opportunity. And so it's blown me away as far as the expectations that I've had. And like I said, I got to tip my hat to the instructors and just an awesome opportunity.
So tell me what kind of reaction you're seeing from parents.
So it's hard because a lot of times middle school students don't talk to parents. Hey, how'd your day go? And you get one grunt or syllable answers. But when you get parents in the building and they walk by and they see some of the designs that kids are doing, or we have a display board, wow, then they start, well, where'd that come from? Or what's going on here? And then you take those opportunities and showcase what that lab looks like. And it's amazing, the parent reaction. But then you also have those parents that are able to get more than one syllable responses from their middle school child. And it's fun to run into them in the community. And they talk about, boy, my child did this. I wish I would have had that when I was in school. You know, all of those typical responses that you hear from parents. It's one of those things where we really want to make sure we are arming our students to be future ready. And this is allowing them to do that. And I think parents recognize that. And I think they are excited for their child to have those possibilities.
And so what's the reaction you're seeing from the students?
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start. There are so many kids that they walk by. They can't wait to be in tech ed. They can't wait to do this. We actually have fourth and fifth graders that walk by, and they want to be part of it. And it is so cool. I'm like, well, you got to wait till sixth grade before you can actually do that. And so they're already excited about that process. And then when they see the cool things that are happening outside with the application part of that, whether it's rocketry or anything, those type of projects just garner a lot of attention. And again, I got to tip my hat to Mr. Peters. He is the ultimate promoter of his program because he passionately believes in what they're doing. And so when a fourth grader is stopping by and asking questions, he'll drop everything he's doing, even though he might be in the middle of his prep, and he will talk through what that child is seeing. We have some students that will request to take breaks because they are struggling in school, and kind of an incentive to go do some 3D modeling. Are you kidding me? We have kids that want to take and engage in more learning. And that's a credit to what that space looks like and a credit to the vision and the passion that the instructors have. But no, the response from the kids have been tremendous. I think most of them realize how fortunate they are. I mean, middle school kids are middle school kids and never going to tell you that they love anything. but it is one of those things where you can see the engagement just by the participation and what they're doing in class.
So from an administrative point of view, how do you see this impacting student education as they progress from middle school to high school and then into further careers?
I really feel that a big job of schools are to expose kids and prepare them for the next level, whatever that happens to be, right? And some of our students are going to go right into the workforce. Some of them might go in the military. Some of them might go into college. But for whatever, we don't know what that is. But we do know that they need to have the skills to be successful in all of that. And I think career education and technical education and problem-solving skills and all of those things that the program is designed to focus in is important. And so at the middle school level, we do rotate all of our students through the classes. It's not just an elective. You don't choose to take tech ed. We want to make sure we're exposing them to all of our electives. And then as they go from seventh grade to eighth grade to into high school, now they've been exposed to that and they can decide, nope, that was something I liked and something I didn't like. But working on those problem-solving skills, really being focused in on what that college and career readiness means is a huge focus in our district and making sure that they are truly ready for that. So I only look at this as a big piece of that push, right? We want to make sure our kids are exposed to science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. And that's the focus of our program, focus of a lot of our classes. But this is giving them that exposure so that at high school, they're like, nope, that was for me. I loved what I did. I want to continue and ultimately get into maybe that engineering path or maybe that technical path or whatever it happens to be. But it's just getting them plugged in sooner.
I really appreciate you sitting down and taking the time to speak with me today, Mr. Julius. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I do. I really feel that this CAD Fab Lab is the start of many of our community partnerships. We are really looking to get our students interacting with community businesses and opportunities because really the best way our students can learn is through exposure and experiences, whether it's radio shows like this and being exposed to the amazing opportunities that could create or whatever it happened to be. We just want to make sure we're starting those conversations so that our kids are hitting the ground running when they bring that relevance to school. You know, sometimes or so many times through my career, I hear, when do I need to learn this? Why do I need to know this? And when you can bring relevancy into what they're learning, and I think our community partnerships can really do that, I think that would be fantastic. So if you have any questions about that, how you can get involved in schools, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. If you have specific things that you'd love to see our CAD Fab Lab help out with, don't hesitate to reach out or even to Mr. Peters. We're looking for projects. We're looking for ways for our kids to impact our community, and that's extra special.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back to Community Stories Junior. I'm here with a talented group of young people, and I'm excited for you to meet them. I'm going to ask you all to introduce yourselves to our listening audience. Please tell us what your name is and what grade you are in school.
My name is Lillian, and I'm in sixth grade.
My name is Lilia, and I'm in sixth grade.
My name is Jackson, and I'm in sixth grade.
My name is Michaela, and I'm in sixth grade.
My name's Piper, and I'm in sixth grade.
My name's Michael, and I'm in sixth grade.
My name is Madison, and I am in sixth grade.
Hi, my name is Colin, and I'm in sixth grade.
Hi, my name is Easton, and I'm in sixth grade also.
My name is Kip, and I'm in sixth grade.
I'm in sixth grade, and my name's Adria.
Why are you taking this technology class with Mr. Peters?
No idea, to be honest.
Was it an option for you on your schedule?
It was on my schedule.
Because I like technology.
It was on my schedule.
It was on my schedule, too.
Are you enjoying Mr. Peters' technology class?
Yes. We get to 3D print stuff,
basically whatever we want. We even get to sometimes design what we want to print.
I think, like, tech ed is, like, really fun, and, like, you get to create different things and, like, make 3D printed stuff on, like, Tinkercad, which is an app on your computer, and it's really fun.
I am, because I like to, like, be able to 3D print stuff, and it's just fun because you could basically print anything you want.
Today, we got to choose what we get to 3D print today.
We get to design our own things and be creative.
I like making things in tech class.
It was given to me on my schedule, but I really didn't know if I was going to like it or not. But then I loved it. You get to go on Tinkercad, you get to design it, and it actually takes way too long, to be honest.
Do you think it will get easier in time as you learn Tinkercad better?
Yeah.
Okay, for those of us who don't know what Tinkercad is, can you explain it to me, Lillian?
It's an app that you go on, and there's like all these shapes that you can shrink, make bigger, or change the color, and you get to like stack them, put them on top of each other, make all kinds of shapes and designs, and then once you're ready, you can print it in the 3D printer.
So does it give you the freedom to do whatever you want?
Yes. There's all kinds of shapes. There's even like some words or like swirls or stuff, stars. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do.
So Tinkercad, you can make your own models, and then if you get like a chip that you could put into a computer, and you put the stuff into the chip that you made on Tinkercad, you could put it into the 3D printer, and then it makes that. So it's like that's how people make other models.
So is that how you make the designs that you do that you can put into the 3D printer?
Yeah, Tinkercad has, you can make anything with them. There's all types of shapes that you can do.
Tell me your earliest memories or when you first learned about 3D printing.
My brother bring a bunch of stuff home.
Probably last year, because I asked my friend Macy that to get me one of the 3D printed lizards.
Well, I really didn't know about it until when I first took the class where he explained it to us and everything, and we printed, was it the climbing man? Yeah, the climbing man.
It was standing man, then climbing man.
Oh, yeah, standing man, then climbing man. Where then he had us write, like, a paragraph or two about why we think it works this way and why it has to be diagonal to stand up.
My uncle got his 3D printer. I went over to his house and helped make I think it was a dolphin for my mom.
Oh, wow. How big was the dolphin?
Like the size of a sticky note.
Did that interest you in taking this class then?
A little, yeah.
How about you, Colin?
My earliest memory was when I first started 3D printing with Mr. Peters and when he taught me how to 3D print.
Was that this year in sixth grade or did you start it last year?
It was this year in sixth grade.
I don't really have a memory of 3D printing.
So did you learn about it when you first started taking this class?
No, I've known about it since like a while now, since like fourth grade.
My best memory is like the first one that we made, which was the sitting man. And it's just cool like how you can make so much stuff.
Can you explain to me how the sitting man is printed?
Okay, so I don't know if it needs structures or not, but since it's a sitting man and it's like angled, it needs to lay down on its back and then have its legs go up in the air and then to the side, I think.
Jackson, can you explain to me what standing man and climbing man are?
Basically, there's this standing man. You printed it up, like climbing up, and then it added like basically built the human. Then it added like their feet and their hands.
It did it flat because if it did it standing, like the material that you make it with, it would like fall down because how hot it is, and like so that's why it has to like be laying down, and it makes the hands like up, and you just take it off with a scraper.
Can you describe what the climbing man is or how it's printed?
It's like, it looks like a little person that like the arms, one's longer than the other, and it like can hold on to stuff. It has like a fat piece on top of its arm that it like sits there.
It is made by putting structures together and printing it flat and then putting the arm straight up with a flat piece over it.
I don't really remember it, but all I remember is like a man that had little things sticking out his arm that could hang on to stuff with it.
And there were two other man figures like that that you printed. Do you remember what those are?
The standing man and the sitting man.
So what's special about those that are different than the climbing man?
The standing man stands on stuff and the sitting man can sit and stuff.
Did the printer print special parts to be able to make them, like, hang over the edge of something?
Well, on the sitting man, it did add to print, like, a little tree part. Otherwise, it'd fall down because of gravity.
Can you describe what a 3D printer looks like?
It looks kind of futuristic, like see-through and silver in a box.
It has tempered glass on the front, but we are not even sure if it's tempered glass yet. But it's a see-through glass that we could see when it prints. And the teacher lets us open the door when it's printing so we could watch it. Sometimes it goes like really crazy going back and forth of making zigzags.
So the printer nozzle?
Yeah. It goes really fast printing. And there's actually another part to it. It's a metal part, and it's magnetized to the thing that goes up and down.
It's like a rectangle square. I don't really know, but like inside it has a tray, and then it has like the stuff that 3D prints. I can't think what it's called on top of it. You can change the colors too.
A 3D printer is a square with mechanical parts inside it with a plate that makes the 3D printer print the stuff that you want to.
A 3D printer would be like a 3D rectangle with a glass panel that you can open to take the 3D printing out. And there's like a little platform that rises to print how tall it should be. And when it's done, you can take one of the plates out, and then you can remove the 3D printing off that, and then you'd have to put it back in, and inside one of the plates there's like a little magnet so you can go inside it, and there's a bunch of magnets inside there, and if you want to print a certain color, it would go to that certain color and melt it down so it can print the 3D printing you want.
3D printers can be different. They're usually like a box, and then there's like a camera in the inside, and then there's like a mat inside. So then that's what it would print on. And then there's usually on the outside, there's a screen that you could put like stuff in. So it tells you what to print and then it'll print it. And then it's cool because there's like on the ones that we have here, there's four different filaments that you can use. And all the filaments that you have in there, there's probably like a bunch of filaments and you can use every other color that you want.
Do you have a favorite color of filament?
The one that I'm using to create the pumpkin that we're doing right now, it's like a shiny light blue, so it's cool. And there's also a green, and then there's a white.
What do you hope to learn by taking this class?
I hope to learn that I can make whatever.
I hope to learn to make some really complicated stuff, like maybe a mini gnome.
That we have really much fun, and we get to learn how the 3D printer is made. It uses some of its things to melt it down and so it's printed. And when it dries up, it's really fun to play with.
So what do you hope to learn in this class? Or is there a special project you want to be able to print?
I really want to make, like, if you see that some people have, like, lizards that are, like, physical that you can move around. And there's a basketball that I want to make, but that requires like a big 3D printer, and I don't know. But I want to print a bunch of stuff, and that's too much stuff to say right now.
Yeah. So you have a full list of things you hope to print this year.
Yeah.
I don't really know what project I want to print, but I think I'm going to print something for my grandpa, like with his mom and dad's name on them, because they died when he was like 30 or something, I think.
You can print letters with this too? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the like app we use, there's like this text box and you have to click that and then you have to erase text and type whatever you want to type.
And do you have to build it on a platform so that it prints on something and the letters aren't all separate?
Yeah, you have to do that. You also can make it transparent.
Can you do different colors at the same time?
Yeah, I don't know how many you can do, but you can do at least two.
I hope to learn how to print stuff when I'm at home, and he could give me the stuff when I'm at school.
Do you have a 3D printer at home?
No.
Do you hope to get one?
Yeah.
Is it what you asked for Christmas?
Yeah, I really want one.
All right, Easton, what do you hope to learn in this class?
No, I just like to print a whole boatload of album covers.
Album covers for what?
System of a Down.
Is that your favorite band?
Yeah.
So what would your album cover look like?
I don't know, just an album cover that's probably like a 0.2 milliliters thick. 0.2 millimeters is the size of every single wire. So 100 wires would be about half an inch tall, maybe 3/4.
I hope to learn more about how it works and how the machine works together to print the objects.
I want to make different stuff and make different things that I can put around my room and stuff that I can take home and show my family and how it works, and my younger sister can do the class and stuff.
I would love to learn more about the tech and Tinkercad, because I designing stuff, and also I kind of want to make some moolah if I design stuff.
So you think you can make money doing this?
Yeah. Except when you go to MIT, you're going to lose it all.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more community stories.
Welcome back to Community Stories Junior on WFHR. Tale time is up next, but first, here's the rest of the story.
I'm here with some 7th graders. Can you tell me your first name?
Cash.
My name is Jordan.
My name is Lydia.
My name is Damien.
Madeline.
Phoenix.
Caden.
Why are you taking Mr. Peters' class?
So I can learn more about 3D printing.
It's really fun. You get to print stuff and you get to do experiments with machines and all that stuff.
I had it on my schedule last year. I thought it was really fun and was very excited to take it this year.
I had it on my schedule and it involves technology, so I really liked it, so I decided to use it this year.
Because it's really interesting.
I thought it was fun.
I get to make free things.
What is your earliest memory of 3D printing, or when did you first learn about 3D printing?
I learned it mostly from Mr. Peters in Tech Ed, but I had a cousin that would make figures and show me it.
I learned it from going into my classroom, and I saw boxes, and I'm like, oh my god, we are going to do some 3D printing.
I first learned about 3D printing last year in 6th grade, and Mr. Peters sort of introduced it to us.
Whenever I didn't have a class and I walked by and I saw these boxes.
And did the boxes intrigue you?
Yeah.
What did you think they were?
I have no idea.
How about you, Caden?
Last year in 6th grade when Mr. Peters introduced it to us.
It might be when I was in 5th grade that we started. That's when I learned about it, but we didn't start it until 6th.
I learned about 3D printing about 2 years ago when he had us print stuff on Tinkercad.
Now you're saying Tinkercad. Can you tell me what that is?
Tinkercad is a site that you can make stuff and then you can be able to print it on a 3D printer.
And how do you make stuff on this program?
When you design in Tinkercad, you can go to just about on the top, it's called export, and then you can click STL, that's the type of plastic and type of size or whatever it is that it uses to print that, and then you do that, and then you go over to Schoology, and then you can click submit, and then you grab the file, drag it over, and then you'll get ready to start printing.
So there's different colors to choose from of the plastic. Do you have a favorite?
My favorite color is pale blue.
My favorite color is gold.
Favorite color is gold.
It's a dark purple and it has sparkles in it.
Mine's a very dark green.
Can you describe what a 3D printer looks like?
A 3D printer kind of looks like a box, and then the middle of it is open, and then there's a tray inside, and then there's a nozzle on the top of it that has all the kind of plastic that you prints on the plate type thing in the middle.
So it's sort of like a box, and there's a top on it with all the 3D printing stuff, and then there's a nozzle tip that ejects the 3D printing stuff, and then it makes the 3D printing a golf ball I have in my hand.
It's a big metal box with a clear window that shows you what's 3D printing on a metal tray.
It's a metal box, it has a metal plate, and also, it has 4 spots for filament.
it goes into another little box that's hovering over the metal plate, and it's just starting to make your art piece.
Does it get really hot?
Very.
So it's like a big rectangular like box or whatever, and so on the top the filament like goes into it, and then it just prints on the like board, and you have to put a special glue on it so it like sticks.
I feel like it's a square box with filament on the top, and like it melts it, and then it applies it onto like the black surface, and it hardens.
A big metal box with plastic on top that looks like a robot. There's like a little nozzle that there's filament and it heats up so it's thin enough to come out and hardens.
What is the printing process when you're watching it work? What does it look like?
So at first, the nozzle, it like taps all around the like surface of the plate, mm-hmm. and then it like starts printing like a border. Sort of, and then it draws an outline of where the object is going to be, and then after a while, once it like scans it over to make sure it's complete, it starts making the object.
Tell me how it builds on itself as it's printing.
It just makes layers and layers until it's fully done, and it just moves really fast.
And how do you get the project off of the plate when it's done printing?
Mr. Peters built a scraper that you take your print off with it.
Are some of them harder to get off than others?
Yeah.
What do you hope to learn by taking this class?
I hope to learn how to basically just get better at 3D printing. Like being able to print stuff that we useful, kind of like a phone stand like we're printing today.
I hope to learn a lot more about like the 3D printing and like how it works and like the stuff that makes it and like the technology.
I hope to learn how to better use technology. I'm hoping to print bookmarks for my books. I'm a big book reader, and a big like lizard that can move, because I think those are cool.
And do you want to be able to do that in multiple colors?
Of course. Colors are the best.
I hope to learn about how to like make games for other people to enjoy.
Do you have any games in mind?
Yeah, like RPG games and stuff.
I hope to learn about like engineering and what it's like to like build something.
I want to learn a lot of technology in this class.
Make more things like spinning, which would be like on your computer, just make it movable, like smaller, more movable parts and prints.
Do you have any particular pieces that you're hoping to print throughout the course of this class?
Maybe like bigger stuff, because right now we're just working on smaller pieces. So maybe like later in the year, we can print stuff off of our computers and bigger stuff.
Is there a reason that you're not able to print bigger stuff right now?
Sometimes it don't fit. The bigger parts, it takes a lot more time than the little parts.
So I want to make an airplane that will actually fly, or a movable car.
Now this is our last bunch of introductions. Please tell me your names and what grade you're in.
My name's Grant, and I'm in 8th grade.
My name's Gus, and I'm also in 8th grade.
My name's Drew, and I'm also in 8th grade.
My name's Caden, and I'm in the 8th grade.
My name's Jordan, and I'm in the 8th grade.
I'm Carson, and I am in 8th grade.
I'm Adeline, and I'm in 8th grade.
I'm Cameron, and I'm in 8th grade.
What is your earliest memory of 3D printing?
Last year, when we got put in this class, and I had to make a paperweight.
Yeah, 7th grade, second quarter, the paperweight was the first thing we 3D printed, and we had little 3D printers that were fun to use.
My earliest memories of 3D printing are in 7th grade, when the first time that I ever even heard about any programs that help you with 3D printing.
I remember learning about 3D printing in 6th grade. We had the class first time in that grade, and it was just really cool.
I haven't really had experience with it, so this was my first year, and I think it's pretty good.
We were in 6th grade, and it was pretty cool to start learning about it.
Can you describe what a 3D printer looks like?
It's kind of big box with a door and a metal tray that moves up and down with how the 3D print is made.
Yeah, it's a big box with a metal tray that heats up and moves up and down, and then there's a nozzle that moves around that puts down the filament to 3D print things.
It's like a microwave, but instead of like spinning, it goes like up and down. Instead of like heating food, it heats like plastic.
A 3D printer sort of looks like basically a regular printer, but just a little taller, most likely with a glass or plexiglass door. A build plate, which is basically maybe a heated platform with a magnet, a magnetized plate that sits on top of the heated platform. And then the nozzle heats up plastic and it dispenses the plastic onto the build plate.
It has a little screen on it to scroll on it and see what you want to print.
It's a big black box that has a door that you can see through, and then it just has like a little needle inside that makes the print.
Well, the needle goes around. The tray moves up and down too, depending on how big your part is.
It has a top for like the string and stuff to like make the plastic.
Okay. One of your earliest projects was the standing man or the climbing man. Can you describe how that's printed? Describe the process for me.
First, it's a thin layer that's a rough shape of a man, and then it just keeps building up until it's finished.
Yeah, and with these 3D printers are more high-tech, so they do like little lines around to calibrate first, and then it lays down the first outline, it does some more calibrations, and then it fills the rest up.
Yeah, it like makes layers, and it goes really fast. It makes more layers. Yeah, the feet are like taller than the rest.
So the program that I have used, it's basically a tablet screen connected to the 3D printer where you scroll, and then they're little icons, basically, and you just tap one and then press print.
It puts out the plastic or whatever onto the platform, and then it looks like the man is sitting once it comes out, or when it's printing it, it goes in weird shapes and like all that. You have to lift the plate up and take a little plastic thing and like a chisel thing and take it all off.
The needle goes around and does the outline first, and then it just goes side to side through the middle, back and forth until it's the right level of the outside.
It like puts it on there, and then the parts that are flat, it just like does it.
You need the supports if it's not like flat on the tray.
What do you hope to learn in this class?
I hope to learn how to use these a lot more than I do now, because right now we do know a lot, but there's probably a lot more we can learn later on.
I hope that in the future maybe I could do something like this.
Like learning how to transfer parts, like your own parts that you want to make into the thing.
I hope to learn to make bigger 3D prints and better ones.
I hope to learn things that you can actually use in your life and things that actually move and work.
By taking this class, I hope to learn more about 3D printing and just technology in general.
I hope to learn about building more 3D printers and like figuring out more technology.
Stick around. Tale Time is up next.
Kevin the Cat, Chapter 1. Once upon a time, in a bustling county shelter filled with the sounds of barks, meows, and the occasional chirp, there lived a very special cat named Kevin. Kevin wasn't just any cat. He was a unique and charming feline with a story that tugged at the heartstrings of everyone who met him. He had been at the shelter for 4 long months, waiting patiently for his forever home. Kevin was a striking cat with a mostly black coat that gleamed like polished onyx under the shelter's fluorescent lights. His legs, chest, and belly were a contrasting snowy white, making him look like he was wearing a tuxedo. But the most captivating feature of Kevin were his eyes. They were the color of amber, warm and inviting, like the glow of a sunset. And then there was his ear, the one that had given him the nickname, Cauliflower-Eared Cat. It was crinkled and folded in a way that set him apart from the other cats. No one at the shelter knew how his ear had been hurt, but one of the veterinarians remarked that it added to his charm, making him look both rugged and handsome. Despite his unique appearance and affectionate nature, Kevin had a tough time finding a home. Many families who visited the shelter were drawn to him because of his gentle purrs and the way he nuzzled against their chest when they picked him up. But there was a catch. Kevin didn't get along with other animals. Whenever he was let out of his cage for his daily exercise, he would walk up to the other cats' cages and start hissing and swatting. The shelter staff believed that Kevin's distrust of other cats stemmed from a difficult past. It was likely that when he had been lost from his home, he had encountered wild cats who weren't too friendly. These encounters had left Kevin wary and defensive. Kevin's hope for a new home was kept alive by his favorite person at the shelter, a kind and gentle volunteer named Shelley. Shelley had a special way with animals, and she always made Kevin feel loved and important. She would spend extra time with him, brushing his fur and talking to him in a soothing voice. Kevin adored these moments, and he would purr and chirp contentedly, feeling safe and cherished. However, there was one curious thing about Shelley. She called him Dante. Kevin didn't mind, but he often wondered if she knew his real name was Kevin. Every day, Kevin watched as families came and went, taking other cats home but leaving him behind. He tried to be on his best behavior, rubbing against the bars of his cage and meowing softly, hoping to catch someone's attention. But when other cats were around, his anxiety would get the best of him, and he would start to act out. The shelter staff understood his behavior, and they didn't hold it against him, but they knew it made it harder for him to find a home. One sunny afternoon, a family came into the shelter looking for a new feline friend. They had a little girl named Emma, who was around 8 years old, with bright blue eyes and a smile that could light up a room. As they walked through the rows of cages, Emma stopped in front of Kevin's cage.
"Look, Mommy, this kitty is so pretty," she exclaimed, her eyes wide with excitement.
Kevin, sensing her gentle spirit, walked up to the bars and rubbed his head against them, giving her his special chirps. Emma giggled and reached out to pet him. Kevin's amber eyes met hers, and for a moment, it seemed like he had found his match. Emma's mother, Mrs. Johnson, asked the shelter staff about Kevin, and they explained his situation, how affectionate he was with other people, but how he didn't get along with other animals. Emma wasn't paying attention while her mom talked with the other people in the room. She spent the time petting Kevin and telling him how pretty he was and how she wanted to show him her house. Pretty soon, her mom came over to the cage. Mrs. Johnson knelt down to Emma's level and gently explained, "Sweetheart, this kitty is very special, but he needs a home where he can be the only pet. We can't bring Dante home because he won't get along with Whiskers. I'm so sorry, sweetie, but it was Whiskers' home first and he deserves a friend." Emma's face fell, and she looked sadly at Kevin.
"I'm sorry, kitty,"
she whispered before moving on to look at other cats. Kevin watched them go, feeling a pang of disappointment. It seemed like every time he got close to finding a home, something got in the way. He returned to his spot in the cage, curling up and closing his eyes. He was trying to hold on to the hope that his person was still out there, and that they would know his name was Kevin. The next day, something different happened. A tall, quiet man entered the shelter. He had kind eyes and a gentle demeanor. This man was friends with Shelley, and she had told him about Dante, the cauliflower-eared cat. Shelley thought that they could maybe be good friends and keep each other company. The man had been feeling lonely and decided to visit the shelter to meet Dante. Shelley greeted him with a warm smile.
"I'm so glad you came, Ron. Let me introduce you to Dante."
She led him to Kevin's cage, where the black and white cat lay. As soon as Kevin saw Shelley, he perked up, his amber eyes shining with recognition and affection.
"This is Dante,"
Shelley said softly, opening the cage door. Kevin stepped out gracefully and walked up to Ron, looking at him with curious eyes. Ron knelt down and gently petted Kevin's head.
"Hello, Dante," he said with a smile. Then his expression changed.
Wait, he said. That's not your name. Your name is Kevin, the cat. I've heard a lot about you. Kevin chirped his happiest chirp. This human knew his name. Kevin leaned into Ron's chest and nuzzled under his chin. He could sense the kindness in this man and felt an immediate connection. Ron looked at Shelley and said, I think Kevin the cat is going to be my good buddy and pal. Kevin's heart swelled with happiness. Finally, he found his person, someone who understood him and would give him the love and attention he craved. Plus, the man knew his real name. Kevin nuzzled the man's hand, feeling a sense of contentment he hadn't felt in a long time. As Ron completed the adoption paperwork, Shelley looked on with tears of joy in her eyes. She knew Kevin was going to a good home where he would be cherished. You're going to miss him, aren't you? Ron asked Shelley as he picked up Kevin, now nestled comfortably in his arms. Shelley nodded, wiping away a tear. I will, but I'm so happy for him. And who knows? Maybe I'll see him again, since we're friends. Kevin looked up at Ron and thought, this is my human. He felt a surge of happiness, knowing he would no longer have to compete with other cats for attention. He would have this man all to himself, and that's exactly what he wanted. As they left the shelter, Kevin looked back one last time at Shelley, giving her a final glance with his amber eyes. He knew he would miss her, but he was ready for his new adventure with his human. Kevin the cat was finally going home, where he would be the center of attention and showered with all the love he deserved. And who knows, maybe he would see Shelley again someday, and they could reminisce about the days at the shelter. In his new home, Kevin, now happily called Kevin the Cat, flourished. He had his own cozy bed by the window where he could watch the birds outside. Ron spent hours playing with him, brushing his fur, and talking to him in a soothing voice. The days of feeling anxious and defensive were behind him. He had found his place, and he was happy. And so, Kevin the cauliflower-eared cat, who had waited patiently for 4 months, finally found his forever home. His journey had been long and challenging, but it was worth every moment. Kevin's story reminds us that even when things seem tough, there is always hope for a better tomorrow. And sometimes, all it takes is one special person to change everything.
Thank you for joining us for Community Stories Junior. I'm your host, Melissa Kay. Join us again next week for more stories from young people in your community.